Welcome to Confessions from a Dental Lab. This show is all about bringing you into the lab, beneath the surface, so you can see things, hear things, and understand things right from the source. Learn from longtime ceramists, dentists, and lab techs, both young and old. Without further ado, let's begin.
Lynn Salo, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm so happy to be here.
Yes, we're very happy to have you on as well. I know we've been wanting to get you on for a little while, and we finally made it happen. So my name is KJ Eichstedt. I'm the brand manager at New Art Dental Lab, and this is the show Confessions from a Dental Lab, where we take dental professionals, people in the dental industry, ceramists, dental technicians, dentists, all the above, and we bring you beneath the surface so together we can learn things right from the source and through these episodes get a little bit better. And we're very excited to have Dr. Salo on today. So Dr. Salo, where are you calling from?
I'm in Los Angeles, California.
Amazing, amazing. And I guess first question is, could you introduce Dr. Salo, like who you are and what you do?
Yes. Yeah, so I'm a cosmetic dentist. I have offices in Beverly Hills and Manhattan Beach here in LA. And I'm focusing on veneers, you know, cosmetic bondings, everything from A to Z in terms of dentistry, but I also own multi-specialty dental offices. So I've got a little bit of everything under my belt. And
that's
I went to dental school. Yeah, I went to dental school at UOP in San Francisco. So I've been to California. I haven't left California. Don't plan on it.
Yeah, it's really impressive. I have so many follow-up questions. I'm sure I'll get to some of those. Could you just tell us, like, how long you've been practicing dentistry? Could you maybe expand on your dental journey? Like, did you always know you wanted to be a dentist growing up, or?
Yeah, so I actually graduated dental school in 2020, and then I quickly jumped in and started practicing with my dad. I've always known I wanted to be a dentist since I was, like, 4 years old. I was, like, following him in the office. I got really into making, like, stained glass windows as a kid, like in churches and stuff, you know, those beautiful mosaics. And I was, like, really good with my hands, loved science. It was kind of a perfect path for me. I was very artistic. And then I followed my dad's footsteps and went to UCLA for undergrad and then UOP for dental. And I started practicing with them right away. I took a lot of cosmetic courses and knew that I was, you know, really interested in veneers and aesthetic type of dentistry. And it's been great ever since. Can't complain.
That's amazing. Yeah, I guess that's so cool, actually. You're like the first person ever. My grandpa used to do stained glass.
And, really?
Yeah, you're the first person I've ever heard of do it besides him. But he was super articulate with his hands. He was actually a surgeon.
And okay, you're, cool.
Yeah, you're like, you're a dentist placing stuff in the mouth, and that's very cool. Yeah, I'm sure we could have a big talk about that as well. That's I just want to say that's awesome. I've never heard of anyone else doing it. How did you get into that?
And I like started making windows for everybody. It was kind of crazy. My high school, if you walk into the admissions office, it has like a bunch of my art pieces hanging. It's actually like built into the windows now. So it's pretty cool to go back and see it.
Did you just like start melting glass one day, or like, did you get inspired in church? Or I guess like
I was just like watching a lot of YouTube videos as a kid, and I just got into it. I took AP art in high school because like one of my arts professors, he was really into it too. So we just kind of started doing it after hours, and then I actually did it for AP art. So I just got really into it. Kind of random.
It's valuable.
Yeah.
Well, I think it actually ties right into my next question, because mm-hmm. I was going to ask you, you know, what's one X factor that separates you from other dentists? And right off the bat, before I let you answer, I imagine like you could incorporate this stained glass into your own unique designs and your own unique practices, but feel free to take that into any direction
yeah, totally.
You'd like.
I feel like I really customize each smile for all my patients. You know, I do a lot of mock-ups, you know, same day in the chair, and I feel like I can actually like probably do some of my own wax-ups. I mean, the lab is definitely better than I am, but I really like feel like I customize each person's smile to their face. I treat it like a, you know, another art project. As I say, like I joke, each smile is like a mini art project inside the mouth. So it really is. And I think that I just care so much about every one of my patients and every single line angle and little detail on their teeth that it really ends up, you know, like a full package.
You know what you're making me think of that is so incredible, because you mentioned the details and how every single one is unique, and you're making me think of like the Vatican with all this priceless artwork and just, yes. You know, like there's all sorts of like AI art and stuff now, but it's just, it doesn't really hit the same because it's so like easily made.
Right. And all the little details and stuff, people just miss out on that. They kind of just smooth it over now, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there really is something about someone taking significant time and actually putting time into the craft, because those are all one of one, and it's really incredible. I love, you know, this little I love the conversation so far.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of patience, you actually just mentioned your patients. What's one thing your patients have taught you over the years?
To be patient, honestly.
Like, never heard that.
It's true. It's like everyone's different and everyone's challenging in their own ways. But like, I really do, you know, patients love when you make them feel like they're number one priority, which I do. And I just feel like each person, you know, some people are super easygoing and then some people are super nitpicky, and whatever it is, I just really, you know, treat everyone with respect and care and do my best possible work. But you know, you have to be like, understand how, what they're going through too. Like, one, they're investing a lot of money in this, and two, in time, and you know, they're changing so much of their face that you really just have to like listen to their concerns and wants and desires and just kind of become their like therapist and friend through it all, because I really do feel like I got to know them on a, you know, a different level with them in my chair for however long when I'm doing their veneers or whatnot. But yeah, to be patient with them, give them a little bit of grace.
Yeah, no, so interesting. I was going to ask you earlier, but I think this is another segue. Like, you mentioned working with your dad, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine there are times that tests your patience.
Totally.
But it's so interesting because like you hear all these stories about how usually like the son or the daughter, like the father or the mother figure might want them to follow in their footsteps, but they almost want to like blaze their own trail. However, yeah, in the field of dentistry, I mean, there are countless examples of, you know, father, son practices, mother, daughter practices, and all those things about like almost just a different embracement of following in the parental footsteps. And I want to just ask you, like, no wrong answers. Like, where do you fall in that? Like, are you like, you know, you mentioned you wanted to be a dentist growing up. How do you kind of approach that? Like, you know, working with your dad every day, but at the same time, like being yourself.
So my dad never pushed me into it. And I actually have an amazing relationship with my dad. He's been my mentor through this all, and he's just been a great help. He practices more of like a surgical type of dentistry. He's a general dentist by trade, but he's taken so many courses that essentially he's like a perio pros at this point. He does mm-hmm. a lot of implants and a lot of big surgeries. And honestly, he does all my crown lengthenings. He's amazing. I pretty much just do veneers and he does all the, you know, surgical stuff. So we don't really overlap in that sense, but he has taught me so much. He's been an incredible mentor to me and just a guide. Whenever I have a question, whenever I need something, like, he's awesome. And I think I'm the only one. I have two other siblings and they're younger than me, but I think I'm the only one that's going to stick to the dental field. They're probably going to maybe follow my mom's path of being an attorney. But it's honestly been amazing. He's a great business partner. He's tough on me at times for sure, but he's also pushed me to, you know, take courses like Aesthetic Advantage with Larry Rosenthal and, you know, really help me into my career, make me take COIS and all these awesome courses that, because he has, you know, the experience, and it's been great. Like, I actually remember as a kid going with my mom to Seattle when he was taking COIS, and then now I just finished COIS. So it's like, it's just, you know, full circle. And it's awesome to work with him. I absolutely love him. It's funny, I love referring to him because I'm always like, oh, refer to the other Dr. Sallow. And he's also, you know, he's also my dad. He's great. And they're always, my patients are so happy to meet him, and he's got a great personality, and he's been like, I mean, he's been amazing, and I'm so, so, so lucky that I have him in my corner.
Totally agree. I mean, just in the sense where, like, such a blessing to have
yes.
great parents and stuff mm-hmm. like that.
Totally.
And I imagine if we were talking to him right now, he would be over the moon, just fulfilled. at like, you know, his daughter flourishing, right? Like following in his footsteps, doing her own thing, but like looking up to him and asking for advice. Like, talk about just like, I don't know, like hitting the heartstrings if you're a parent, I imagine.
Yeah, you know, to me, he's tough on me, but then I'll like hear him talking to a patient and he's like, oh yeah, my daughter, she's amazing. I'm so proud of her. But then to me, he's like, oh, you got to work harder. Come on, Maddie, put some more hours in.
Well, it's so interesting you say that because I've been having this conversation a lot lately with just like maybe like friends, family and stuff like mm-hmm. that about how like being comfortable is okay, but it's like almost the enemy of progress. And like,
totally.
And it's like, someone said something that really hit home. It's like, you could either have tough love early or tough love later, but it's going to come.
Yeah. I've like, always had tough love from both my parents. I mean, my parents are, you know, they're immigrants from Ukraine. They're like, you know, went through it all. And they, man, I'm first generation American. And like, they are just the hardest working people ever. And I'm also the oldest. And they just like, I mean, since I was a kid, it was nothing below an A. You know, it was
yeah,
tough.
Same deal.
They've always been super tough on me, which I appreciate now. Cause I'm like, I'm so happy that you pushed me to, you know, accomplish so much. But I'm also like, I see a lot of my friends' parents that are so easygoing and so chill. I'm like, you know what? I complained about it then, but I'm actually really happy they are how they are. Tough love is honestly sometimes needed. It's
absolutely
good.
Yeah. And man, I mean, I would hate it. Same with me. Like with the moment they started sending out those progress reports when I was in middle school, it was like duck and cover. Cause yes. If it would drop from an A to an A minus, there would be a lot
Game
of yelling.
Yeah. Game over.
Pray for me, you know? Oh man, how old are your siblings?
So I'm 28. My brother's 16 and my sister's 15. So big age gap. Yeah.
That is a big age gap. That's interesting. I have a brother 2 years younger and then a sister 7 years younger. So okay. Similar age range.
Yeah.
I just turned 30. So another thing
it's great with them though. It's even though they're so much younger, they're like, I feel like sometimes I'm the second parent, but it's not. It's okay. It's still awesome having them, you know?
that's true because you do like, they do look up to you.
Yeah, and, exactly.
And there is like a sense of pride because like, I don't have any kids right yet, but like there is a sense of pride in terms of like helping that younger sibling be successful.
Totally.
And, another thing you mentioned that I really thought was fascinating. And as much as you want to share, we often will ask dentists, like, I guess just like depending on the conversation, some are more willing to share than others. But like, mm-hmm. just there's stories of like buying practices. And it was just one of those things where like, because you mentioned you have a few practices, like did your dad kind of let you partner in? Or could you just talk about that journey in terms of like practice ownership? Because a lot of dentists will talk to you. They'll talk about like the debt load out of school. Mm-hmm. Then they're like, okay, do I want to get a bunch more in debt if I want to buy a practice? But really the theme that I hear is that practice ownership is the way to go. Not 100% of the time, but most of the time. Could you maybe like, as much as
yeah,
you'd be
sure.
willing to share, if
yeah,
you wouldn't mind
yeah.
sharing, because everyone's
so
different.
Yeah, so I partnered with my dad in three of his practices. And then I bought my own practice in Manhattan Beach. I actually bought it in the midst of COVID. And it was definitely hard. I mean, I have loans from dental school and I have, you know, now business loans, but it was so worth it. I mean, I bought it from a dentist that was, you know, done with his career. So I bought like an amazing practice with incredible patients. And honestly, it's been awesome. I actually just started, I knocked it down literally a couple months ago and I'm doing construction on it. So I'm completely rebuilding it because it was a very old office. So I've been seeing all my Manhattan Beach patients from my dad's Torrance office and they've all come over. No one's complaining that it's an extra 15-minute drive. So it's been great. I feel like you learn, dentistry is honestly sometimes the easy part and the business part is the hard part, but I feel like you have to just jump in and learn it and you'll make mistakes for sure, but you'll figure them out. You have, you know, hiring great staff is super duper important and, you know, everything comes back. Like you'll make the money back. Everything will come. You just need to put the time and effort in. And sometimes you will have to, you know, do business work on Saturdays and Sundays to make ends meet. And, but I do feel like it's so worth it. One of my best friends just bought a practice in Colorado And it's a law. And she's like, oh, is this the correct payroll? Am I doing this right? Sometimes you have no idea, but you'll learn, you'll figure it out, you'll look for guidance. Luckily, I do have my dad as someone I can ask a million and 10 questions by. And, you know, he's got great staff that have been around for a while. So I have a lot of guidance in that sense. But it is challenging. It is hard, but it's so worth it. I mean, I am my own boss. You know, I do work like a crazy person, but it's worth it. And my patients know how much I care about them. And it's me, and I'm putting all the time in, all the effort in. I'll come in on any emergency, Saturday, Sunday, whatever it is. But that's what you're, you know, you have to do to run a practice. You can work for somebody else, but it's just not like having your own thing, I think, is just so much better. And I think that you can determine how that patient's experience is from A to Z. When the minute they walk through the door and the minute they leave, like, you can really cater that to how you want it. And I think it's just so important, so valuable in today's world.
That is so great. I'm really happy you shared that, because another theme we've heard in talking to all these dentists is they wish they would have gotten a little more business training in school or something.
Totally. I mean, yeah. UOP was 3 years, so it's an accelerated program, so it's a year round instead of, you know, taking summers off. But I mean, truly, I became a great dentist. I did more fillings and crowns and root canals than I think majority of my friends from other dental schools. Like, I think I did like 50 crowns by the time I graduated, and most dental schools you have to do like 10 or something. But we had like one class on how to run a business. I wish we had like multiple. I would have skipped some of the, you know, biochem, whatever, to learn some more business.
Well, and it's so interesting how like in school, even thinking like high school and college, you really, and even middle school, you really have to go out of your way to take business courses. Like, yeah. I remember I was in them the entire way, and I ended up studying international business and marketing, but it's like, it's not like those were GEDs, you know, it's not like those were like the standard in the curriculum, like the biology, the chemistry, the math, you know, you like, I had to make the conscious choice in middle school, high school and college to study that. Yeah. And it's incredibly important, because then you can almost live life on your own terms a little bit.
No, totally. And, like, even taxes, they don't teach us anything in college and or in
buying a house.
Like, you have to learn it all on our own. It's crazy.
Yeah. No, and you know, it's fascinating, because I've never asked this particular question, but I know tons of dentists would like listening would love, would find it so valuable. Mm-hmm. What payroll do you use?
We use ADP payroll. Yeah. And it's great. It makes it super easy.
Man, I mean, that's just a little nugget right there. Thank you for sharing.
It's great. Customer support is great. Everything is makes it very simple to do payroll.
You know, switching gears a little bit, we had a dentist on recently. He's about to go to Vegas, he's got a great mentor out there. But he was a former D1 basketball player who's kind of in a lot of these unique circles. And the thing about Vegas that presents a unique opportunity is it's much like LA, much like where you're at. It's this hub of just where people go, like, and they just got the Raiders just moved to Vegas.
Totally.
They're getting, I think they're getting the Oakland Athletics. They just had the Formula One there. I think they got an NHL team. I think they're looking at moving. I must be forgetting something, but, you know, obviously the casinos and all that. But it's very much like a place where I think you guys would have similar clientele, so to speak.
Yeah.
And my question was, as much as you'd like to share, like, what advice would you give him and other dentists who might be in those, you know, hub areas, those happening areas, whether it be like a Miami, whether it be like a Vegas, like an LA, potentially even like a London, something like that.
Yeah.
To attracting those higher end clients.
So I think number one thing is to like really show yourself, like go to those events, like meet people, network yourself. Like, I've gotten so many patients by like going to events. Like you said, those, you know, athletic teams, like I've gone to a lot of Laker events, and I have some, you know, Lakers, worker, like coaches and staff as my patients, you know, like whatever it is, like you have to just kind of get yourself out there to go and meet people and make your connections, get on Instagram, you know, like Instagram is so hard, like to do all the videos and whatnot, but like, I'm trying so hard to just like, you know, get myself out there. I'm young. I want people to know that like how much I love my work. And I think that that's my best thing is like literally go to those games, go to those events, meet people, network yourself, put a smile on your face, you know, look good, meet people, be nice, offer some like whitening treatments or something, you know, just get your name out there. I think for me, that's been big. Like, for example, I'm in Manhattan Beach and I go to every charity event, every school event, I donate. I'm always there. I'm at every, you know, sporting event thing there or, you know, community event because I want people to know who I am. I'm not from Manhattan Beach. I grew up in near Santa Monica, near in Brentwood. So I didn't grow up in the South Bay here in LA. I just force myself to go to all these events. And I made so many friends. I've joined so many groups. I've met other doctors and other, you know, plastic surgeons and PAs and whatnot, and just really kind of met people. And that's how I've gotten a lot of my patients.
Just being active in the community and not
exactly.
Really taking any shortcuts. Like,
yeah.
I think
you got to put in the work. It's you just got to.
Well, it's so fascinating.
Nothing will
you say
come
that.
To you.
Absolutely. And it's funny because you're on the dentist side, we're on the lab side, and a lot of labs have had maybe challenging times, but like we've continued to grow. And if you ask me what the marketing strategy is, it's a lot of like be everywhere and just care, but there are no shortcuts. You know what I'm saying?
There's no shortcuts.
A lot of people are looking for like a magic button to press, and I haven't found a magic button, but all I know is that, you know, you get what you give, some variation of that. And
you don't just get lucky. You got to put in the work. Like, you know, even I have such incredible mentors in my life, like other than my dad, through like just the cosmetic world, and all those guys and girls, like they've put in the work. Like for example, Dr. Allen, like he puts
Dr.
in the
Allen,
work.
You
like
know?
He really puts in the time on Instagram and TikTok, and he makes these funny videos and shows his incredible work. Like Dr. Heaton also, like his buddy in Arizona, like they try and they show their incredible work. Cause if you're not going to show it, no one's going to know you're that good. You know, you got to show it. You got to put yourself out there. And that's how I think they really made a name for themselves. And I'm learning from them. I'm even in their mastermind smile trend group and learning from them because they're incredible and I want to be as good as them and I want to market myself like they do because I know I can, I have the skills, but I got to show myself.
That's incredible. I think it's just this podcast is just dripping with great advice.
Good.
You know, and it's great because I was going to ask you about Dr. Allen because I believe he was the one who originally connected with us. Very thankful for that. One dentist we had on recently is in your backyard, I believe. Have you ever linked up with Dr. Matasaro?
Oh, he's literally, I think, two blocks away from me in my Beverly Hills office.
Yeah.
I haven't met him, but I know him and Dr. Allen are buddies, and we use similar labs, but I haven't met him. No, I need to go meet him.
Yeah, I'm happy to connect you guys. He's a really cool guy as well, and I the only reason I had the connection is because you said Beverly Hills, and I know he's out there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
I literally think he's, like, on Wilshire right next to me, too. Like, I'm pretty sure we're neighbors.
It's so cool because another theme I hear is it's a very lonely profession, but it doesn't have to be. And it's cool how you're able to just have an open mind about like Dr. Allen, the mastermind, your dad, you know, guy down the street. Like, like I think the only limits, one of these best phrases to borrow from Red Bull, like the only limits are the ones you set yourself. And
no, totally.
Yeah. Okay. Well, how about this? Taking it back to dental labs, how important is it to work with a good dental lab, and why is that so important for dentists?
Oh, it's the biggest thing. I mean, my preps can be amazing, but if I don't communicate well with my lab, or my lab isn't, you know, up to my standards, it makes or breaks the case. Like, you know, patients think like, oh, Dr. Salo, like your work is so good. I'm like, my lab technician is incredible. Like, you know, that's, I think working with an incredible lab is half the battle. Like I can make the most beautiful temps in the world, but if my lab can't execute that, it's, you know, it's make or break. So I think that it's actually the most important thing for us as dentists, especially cosmetic dentists, is working with the right labs and making sure that every margin is sealed. So like, it's not just the beautiful aspect of it, it's also like the high quality of work that we're getting and the good materials and making sure that it's like you know, really, really strong and beautiful and ideal, I think it's super duper important. I mean, I don't think I could show the work that I have if I didn't have these amazing labs and under my belt.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. We always say, like, it's an extension of the dentist. It's almost it's really incredible. I love hearing all these.
I think you guys could probably be dentists at this point. I mean, you guys are amazing.
That's so kind. That's so kind. One last question, and then we'll get to the lightning round. Yeah. Where do you see the future dentistry growing in the next 10 years?
For myself, you mean? My future?
Yeah, just I think the field even, you know, and then I'm going to ask you about some goals in a second.
Yeah, so I think that dentistry is really evolving. It's become like, so I grew up actually shadowing Dr. Bill Dorfman, who's a big cosmetic dentist, and I like, you know, I think he really was a pioneer in making dentistry sexy, in my opinion. And I grew up with his daughter, so I was in his office since I was 12 years old. And I thought, like, you know, that was, he really made dentistry like such a sexy thing. And then now everybody wants beautiful teeth. It's become more like of a thing to do. People don't judge for getting veneers. Like, I think that it's constantly evolving and the materials are getting better. The labs are getting better. The technology is getting better. So I think that dentistry is just, it's just starting. I think it's even going to continue blossoming. I don't think AI will ever be able to replace us cosmetic dentists for sure. But I do feel like it's just going to continue to become like a hotter and hotter thing for patients to want to do. I think patients are going to want to save up for it more. I think it's just, it's also become like more out there, especially with social media. I think everybody wants to have perfect teeth now. So I think it's really going to evolve into something more and more incredible as it is now.
Yeah. I mean, you made me think of just like how, just like the lash business, like the Botox business, like it's almost seems like it's growing exponentially. And I don't really see any reason that the trends wouldn't hold true for cosmetic dentistry. Like you said, like maybe like general dentistry might undergo some, I mean, everyone's going to need it, but I don't even. Yeah. So it's very interesting. That's a fun answer. So, okay. I'm going to ask you a couple quick hitter questions for the lightning round. And then all I ask is you try and keep the answers to like one or two words.
You got it.
Sound good? Okay, first one's favorite food.
Sushi.
Music artist you've been listening to a lot this year.
Morgan Wallen.
Great show. I saw that one.
So good.
First app you open up in the morning.
My email.
Favorite book.
Checklist Manifesto. It's a really good one.
Favorite movie and a favorite show?
Favorite movie, Sweet Home Alabama, the best. Favorite show, probably Yellowstone.
It's a good one, too. What's a favorite class you've taken?
Favorite class, maybe we'll take it back to APR in high school.
Okay, yeah, but why not? What's a favorite holiday you have?
Favorite holiday? Probably. Oh, that's a toughie too. I love holidays. Probably Hanukkah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Apple Music or Spotify?
Spotify.
Next place you want to go on vacation?
Ooh. Well, I am going to London, so I'm excited for that.
Sounds
but
fun.
Maybe also Spain.
Okay. If you could start or pursue any charity, what would it be?
Ooh, that's a good question too. Dang, I'm involved in so many already. I ran a homeless shelter in high school. I was super into that. I guess maybe something in dentistry. I'd love to get back to the community. I'd love to do more dentistry to people who need it.
Yeah, no, I think we just had Dr. Maestas on, and she, I know she does a lot of give back stuff. Maybe I can connect you as well.
Yeah, I do quite a bit too, especially with a lot of, in my community, a lot of kids. I give away a lot of dental treatment. It's awesome.
And the cool part is like you can hit the ground level no matter what community you're in.
Yeah.
And, yeah,
everyone
that's great.
Needs it. Everyone needs it.
Any advice you'd give to dentists to maximize success in 2024 and beyond? And this one's not part of the lightning round. You can use a little more if you want. This one.
I think my best advice is to, like, you know, spend the money, take the courses, learn everything you possibly can, especially while you're young. Like, figure out what you love and go off on that. Like, I think that a lot of dentists struggle because they get into this, like, you know, boring drill and fill type of life. I mean, maybe some people like that, but I feel like if you choose something that you're super into and really hone in on that and take your classes and put in the time, you know, read the textbooks, do all that stuff, like, you really can expand your brain and your knowledge so much that you will become great at whatever you do. Because I personally, I'm obsessed with coming to work every day. Like, I love it. And I love doing dentistry. I love doing my cases. So I think that I've just become so obsessed with it. And I think that's the best thing, is like, become obsessed with what you do. Love it. Because if you stop loving it, it becomes a job. And I think that's the most important thing, is that people just, like, really embrace and love what they do, because that's what's gotten me, you know, and that's what keeps me going.
Wow. You made me think of one of my friends. He's a high achiever. I've never read this, but he said a book that made a big impact on him was called Be Obsessed or Be Average. And have you ever heard of that?
I haven't read that book, but that sounds amazing. I think it's something I need to buy on Amazon.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have any goals for the future you'd like to just put into the universe?
Some goals. I'd love to open up more offices. And I would love to just, like, continue on this path of just doing cosmetic dentistry. And I would love to just do cosmetics. And, you know, I love everything else too, but I really want to focus mostly 100% on cosmetics. And that's probably my goal for the future, is I would love to be doing, you know, a lot of veneer cases during the week, kind of how Michael Allen and James Heaton are. Like, I just really want to be the cosmetic dentist of the community, maybe in the South Bay.
Amazing. Well, this has been a phenomenal conversation, Dr.
Yeah,
Salo.
Thanks so much for having me on. So fun.
You're so welcome. Do you have any final thoughts?
I think that's all. I mean, this was lovely. I loved it all. It was great.
Well, I'm glad you think so. So just want to thank Dr. Salo for coming on. It's been an incredible conversation. Dr. Salo, what's the best way for people to get in touch with you if maybe they're looking to get some work done get to know more?
Totally. My Instagram is at Dr. Madeline Salo, and Madeline's MADELYNE, and then Salo's SALO. So it's kind of a funky spelling. But yeah, reach out to me on Instagram. I always respond to DMs. I'm more than happy to talk to anybody. And even, you know, I have a lot of friends who are in dental school and reach out to me, and I'm always down to help and give any advice I can and share the courses I've taken and any little tidbits that I can. I'd love to help.
Amazing. Just, rising tide raises all boats. I just want to thank Dr. Salo for coming on the show. My name is KJ Eichstead. This has been a phenomenal episode of Confessions from a Dental Lab. The easiest way to help the show is just text it to one other person, text it to one friend, and together through these episodes, we can all get a little bit better. So thank you again, Dr. Salo. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll catch you next time. Thank you for listening to this episode of Confessions from a Dental Lab. If you'd like to contact the show, simply send us an email at dentallabpodcast@gmail.com. You can also get in touch with us at life@newartdental on Instagram. Thank you for listening once again. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify. Make sure to subscribe and tell a friend. And until next time, we're out.